Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God.
I just want to say I thank God for people just using their talents. So it's good to have Brad and Donna here, and just to be a part of worship and leading in worship. And there is a bit of a process involved in being on stage or leading in worship and that. And I just thank God that for their faithfulness and that they're a part. So I enjoyed singing with you, Donna, and doing some harmonies, and Brad, and it's so good. And it's good to have that solid bass. And Brad, for just that six string, you know, that strumming, steady strumming, is beautiful. So, and we love you too, Daniel, on the drums. Yeah, absolutely. So just to keep the bass. Yeah. Last week, if you weren't here last week, check us out on lighthouseniagara.com, or you can go on some of the other media channels. On YouTube, lighthouseniagara.com or Lighthouse Niagara, and subscribe. So if you miss, it's there. And sometimes if you subscribe, it'll come up and just remind you. But I appreciate you being here on a Wednesday night, especially at the summertime. It's like, oh man, got other things. The sun's still, or it's light out there still, and it's almost 8 o'clock. And it's like, yeah, but you're here to be in the house of the Lord. I'm gonna move quickly. In the last days, I'm gonna just go on from in the last days from last week, part two. So in the last days, I want to talk today, sort of tying into the message on Sunday of being one, but also the battle, those that had come together under David to do battle. So men of war doing battle, and ladies, you can jump right into that. It's just women of war too, doing battle. So Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So why are we putting on armor? Protection. We have defensive armor. We have offensive armor. There's the offense and the defensive. And it's against to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When the battle is done, that you're still standing. You may be tired, but you're still standing. And the battle, you've overcome. You've overcome the enemy. And I just thank the Lord. He's saying that we can be strong. We should be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. We can't do it in our own strength. We do it in the strength and in the power of the Lord. So the Lord is with us to get through the worst of times and the worst of battles that we may have. I do want to jump to 1 Chronicles. And again, this is sort of tying in and segueing with the Sunday message. I don't know if I'm going to continue on some of the things I missed or not. We'll see. But at this time, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12 from verse 23, and I want you to recognize that part of this was already happening while Saul was still alive and chasing after David, that men were starting to join in with him. And it got to the point, even as Saul got closer and closer to his death, that there were more and more of the men, these men of war, coming to David. And so in verse, I want to just read from verse 23. It says, "Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war, and came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. And I want you to know today, there is a word that is it has gone out. I just read about the fact that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And the work that we can do as we pray is powerful, is extremely powerful. It says that the weapons of our warfare, it says, are not carnal. We don't walk in the flesh, or though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We don't do battle in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not like a gun. It's not like a sword. It's not like a bazooka, missile, whatever. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds that can be erected in people's lives. So you wonder, why are they so influenced? Because strongholds have been built up within their life by the enemy. So the enemy is influencing a person, and you wonder, oh my goodness, why did they do that? Or why do they keep doing that? And there's a demonic, there's a worldly influence, there's a fleshly influence, and there's also a demonic influence in people's lives, even for believers. Let me just say that, even for believers. And we need to recognize the wiles of the devil, the strategies of the devil, and recognize that there are certain things that he wants to steal from us, or even to erect strongholds in our life that are within that would control and dictate certain actions that are contrary to ourselves, are detrimental to us, and also to others. And we have the authority in Jesus' name to pull down those strongholds. In Jesus' name, we come against the stronghold of greed or materialism or addictions, whatever it may be, that we can pull those strongholds down in Jesus' name. And so these men, these numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war, and they came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. Of the sons of Judah, bearing shield and spear, 6,800 armed for war. David was from the tribe of Judah. Of the sons of Simeon, mighty men of valor, fit for war, 7,100. Of the sons of Levi, 4,600. Now we recognize when David had finally became king and everything, everybody came over to him. The mighty, or the power of the Israeli or the Jewish army under David was powerful. Listen, even in these last days, may I say this? Israel, the Jews are the children of God. I want you to know that. They need Jesus, just like you and me. And the bulk of them do not know Jesus. But I'll tell you, they are the children of God. Don't you come against them, because you are coming against God then. The Lord says, right from the very beginning, he said to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. So even though they don't know the Lord, in fact, they are still waiting for the Messiah, they don't acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. They will one day. But at this point, that's why it says to pray for Jerusalem. To pray for Jerusalem, to pray for the Jews. So my thing is, Lord, protect them as the missiles are coming across on a regular basis. And they're not aiming for any strategic military, whatever. They're just lobbing them over to kill as many people as possible. So those missiles are going, they're hitting Tel Aviv, is one of the biggest cities in Israel, and they're just coming over. Now some of them have gotten through. Many of them were taken out because they have a defense system. The Iron Dome is what it's called. And they shoot. When the missile comes across, they have tracking devices, but sometimes there's some that get through, and that's where people are killed. And so Israel is fighting. They're fighting on every front with Hamas, with Hezbollah, with Iran, with the Houthis. There's six or seven different factions that are coming against. Do not come against the Jewish nation and people, because as you do, you are coming against God himself. And we say, well, how can God allow for, they don't even believe in Jesus. Again, in one day, the Battle of Armageddon, in one day, in one hour, as they are surrounded and they are beaten, two-thirds of the forces that were fighting against the Antichrist and all of his hordes that would come are going to be taken out. And the last third, as they're crying out to come, and they recognize that the Antichrist that they accept as the Messiah, and he comes in and halfway through the tribulation, he defiles the temple. They recognize this is not the Messiah. And so as they're crying out for the Messiah, he will come. And guess what? Noah, I don't know if you've ever ridden a horse that can fly, but there is a day coming as you give your life. Lord, Jesus, I want you to be Lord in my life. Be my Savior. I'm going to serve you. I'll tell you right now, young man, you're going to be riding a horse that can actually fly. It talks about that in Revelation 20. I can't wait. We're going to be a part of that mighty army that is following after Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are going to be following him on horses in white, all in white. The horse is all white. And we're going to be dressed in robes of white, and we are going to be coming with and being a part of this battle of Armageddon that's going to happen. If the Lord comes today, it'll be in 7 years. Don't want to be left behind, because there's a battle. And here, the men, 3,000 years ago, were coming over to David, the one that had killed Goliath. And it says, Of the sons of Levi, 4,600. And so here, even the different tribes of the children that were the offspring of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were the 12 of Jacob. And he had actually had 13 with Levi. And so some of the tribes, there was two that came from Joseph, there's his son Ephraim and Manasseh. So there was an extra. There's 13 tribes, but there was also the priestly tribe of Levi. The weapons that we use, they had weapons. They were mighty men of valor, fit for war. And it's the clans, their clans came as well. It says, And I love the fact that they're even mentioned by name. Jehoiada, the leader of the Aaronites, and with him 3,700. Zadok, a young man, Zadok, a valiant warrior. And from his father's house, 22 captains. Of the sons of Benjamin, relatives of Saul, even from Saul's tribe, they were defecting and they're coming to over to David, 3,000. Until then, the greatest part of them had remained loyal to the house of Saul. Of the sons of Ephraim, 20,800, mighty men of valor, famous men throughout their father's house. Of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 18,000 from one side of the Jordan River. So they came from one side of the Jordan River. They're on either side, so half of them, 18,000 on one side of the river, who were designated by name to come and make David king. Can you imagine taking down 18,000 names? By name, they were designated to come and to make David king. Say, we submit to your lordship. Listen, can I just say this? To be a mighty man or woman of valor, listen, you need to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Be like, yes, sir. The Lord says something, yes, sir, I'm going to do it. We need to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ if we want to be mighty men and women of valor, of battle, to do battle. I submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. They came by name. They were designated by name to come and make David king. Today, that was 3,000 years ago. David is alive in heaven. One day, we will be able to meet David, King David. In fact, he will rule over Israel. It tells us that he will rule over Israel. And Jesus will rule over the entire globe. He says he will rule from Jerusalem with an iron rod, as in no more fooling around. You come worship. If you don't worship, I'm going to withhold the rain. No rain, no bread. For 1,000 years. And as we have Jesus and we've received Jesus and he is Lord, he's our Savior and Lord, we are going to reign with him during those 1,000 years. You say, Pastor, a literal 1,000 years? Yes, 1,000 years. You will not get old. You will be in perfect shape. Thank you, Jesus. You're not going to be, oh, my goodness, how do I get rid of it? I'm feeling old. Yesterday, the other 2 days, I'm turning my neck, and it's like, oh, man, I was feeling sore here. Like, what happened? Listen, all to say, we won't have those issues anymore. And we're going to be here literally for 1,000 years before eternity. I can't wait till eternity. But I look forward to the 1,000 years that we're going to be on this planet. It's like, let it happen. So we're going to be off the planet for 7 years. And there's going to be, man, there is going to be a feast. And there's going to be rewards given. You might say, for what? For the things that we did while we were alive. And our works will be tested to see what sort they are. I'll tell you, let us be mighty men and women of valor. We will do things. The Lord will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did a great job. I've got a horse for you. Let me show you your horse. White horse. It's like, oh my goodness. Oh, I can't wait. By name. The sons, actually, who were designated by name, verse 31. Of the sons, now this next verse I find very interesting. Of the sons of Issachar, so Issachar was one of the tribes who had understanding of the times. The sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. So they had chiefs of 200 that understood, they had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Listen, Lord, give us revelation as to what we need to do, even in our prayers and how we should pray. I'm going to reveal something that I shared with the ladies on yesterday that were here for prayer. And anyways, I want to share it with you because we had powerful answers to prayer over the course of the last week. Just very, very powerful. So they had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, that we would know what needs to be done, how we should pray, how we should fight. Their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. So they were waiting. What should we do? How should we do it? To recognize the times we are in and to do battle accordingly. Today, I'll say one of the biggest battles are for the souls of the lost. the wayward, those that may have gone off track, the backslidden, those that once served Lord and they're serving themselves and something else, whatever it may be, and they've slidden away, they've backslidden back into the ways of the world. Perhaps it's somebody that's overtaken with trespass to restore them. Whatever it may be, that the Lord, that we would begin to do battle. That we would begin to do battle. One of the things that we need to do battle on is against the lying and seducing and deceiving demons that are lying and deceiving believers and entire denominations. To come against those demons, to shut them down. And again, I want to mention Uganda. I remember the 80s, 80, 81, Idi Amin. I could remember the horrific things that were going on in Uganda. But now, what is written on your license or your birth certificate? What of what faith or whatever? What are you? What does it say? Pentecostal. Whoever is a Christian is Pentecostal. Doesn't matter what denomination you are, you're Pentecostal. This is how it should be. That there would be every, doesn't matter what denomination you're from, you're Pentecostal. That's, this morning, as I just had the realization, before Pentecost, they were believers, followers of Jesus Christ, but they weren't Pentecostal. They were seeking an actual experience of the power. We're talking about doing battle. It says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, you will be endued with power as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. You'll be a light in darkness unto me, wherever you are, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The end, as in time and in geography, right to the ends of the earth. To have power to do the things that the Lord would have us do. And so here, we need, as we do battle, Lord, that we would do battle in the power of the Holy Spirit, and even to come against seducing spirits that would bring doctrines of demons that people grab a hold of by ignorance. That's not for today. I'll tell you, that's a doctrine of demons. The power of the Holy Spirit made available to us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, well, that was just for then. It just happened for a few years, and it's not the promise of the Father. That's not for today. It was for then. Are you kidding me? Those are doctrines of demons. Of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out to battle, expert in war with all weapons of war, stout-hearted men who could keep ranks. Of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, with them 37,000 with shield and spear. Of the Danites, they're listing all the different tribes who could keep battle formation, 28,600. Of Asher, those who could go out to war, able to keep battle formation, 40,000. Of the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, from the other side of the Jordan, 120,000 armed for battle with every kind of weapon of war. All these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. That we would be of one mind, that Jesus would be King of kings and Lord of lords in our lives, and that we would be mighty men and women of battle and of war. And do war. It says, it talks about all these men of war. Men ready to do battle, they are experienced. It says, keeping ranks. They could keep ranks. Does anybody know what that means, to keep rank? Anybody, any idea? Pardon? Not quite hearing you. Hold position. Listen, oftentimes when the enemy would come, when you have of greater force coming, to keep rank means, I'm not going to, oh no, I'm afraid, and they turn and they run. That's not keeping rank. To keep rank is, it doesn't matter what the enemy is doing as they come towards you, you keep rank. And you're, whether it's the shield and with the sword and the spear, whatever it may be, you are keeping rank. Listen, when the enemy comes at us, these forces that we don't even know, to be able to keep rank, that Jesus Christ is King of Kings. It says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You do not have to be afraid of Satan. I don't care if you got saved today. If your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, his body broken and his blood shed for you, if that is where your faith is, you will overcome even Satan. We're talking to the lead of all the principalities and powers and of all the demons. Satan is the lead of all of them. And even if Satan came to you, Noah, if Satan came to you, how old are you now? 10. You have authority as your faith is in Jesus Christ as a 10-year-old boy that you can overcome Satan. It says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Their faith in the blood of the Lamb, in the finished work of the Lamb. The fact that he died on the cross for us, his body broken, his blood shed. And you, Noah, 10 years old, as you would say, that's what my faith is in Jesus Christ and him crucified for me. He is my commander in chief, and he overcame death. He was buried, and he rose again. He overcame hell. And he overcame everything that Satan would have to try to hold him back. He overcame him, and he rose again, and he's seated on the right hand of the Father in a place of authority. And we have the authority of Jesus Christ, even in our faith. My faith is not in myself. My faith is not in brothers and sisters or the church or even my knowledge of the word. My faith is in one simple thing. You don't have to know anything. As Paul says, I was determined you would know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. You might say, what do I believe in? Oh, I believe in Pastor Dave. Don't believe in me. Oh, I believe I'm a member at the Lighthouse. Oh, that's what my faith is in, the fact that I'm a member at the Lighthouse. No, your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, just the word of their testimony. Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, my King. He died for me. I overcome you, Satan. Get lost in Jesus' name. When you're afraid, I'll tell you, usually a spirit of fear comes when you're afraid and you're anxious. We're not even talking Satan here. It's just like, are you serious? Listen, I know. You might say, Pastor Dave, have you ever been afraid? Absolutely. You know what? Here's the problem. When I look at the problem so much and what's coming at me, and rather than saying, looking at Jesus and what he did for me on the cross, if I look at the problem, I'll be overwhelmed. Just the other day, I was overwhelmed. Health. My health. So these thoughts are coming. These thoughts are in my head. They're just raging around in my head. And my body's not functioning like it should. The enemy's lying and he's saying things, I'm going to kill you. And if my ears and are listening to the liar, he's a liar. He's the father of lies. And he would say, no, Jesus isn't strong enough. What he did on the cross isn't strong enough for your situation. You liar, Satan, get lost. You lying spirit, get lost in Jesus' name. I'm not taking that. You know what? Sometimes we dwell on it. We say, well, I can't overcome. There's no way I can overcome. Because you're doing it in your own strength. You and I will never overcome in our own strength. That's why it says to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And it comes through his finished work. We preach Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, 24. We preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Not just the power. You can be really strong, but man, if you're stupid, I'm really tough. It just brings back memories because I used to teach behavior for 14 years, special ed behavior. I had the worst of the worst. I would say to them, because one of the issues they had was anger. They get upset, they get angry, and they would lose it. And I would say to them, I say, listen, you might be tough. You think you're so tough. I said, but don't be stupid. Like, that's, okay, so you're tough. You're a tough guy. But don't be stupid. Be smart. So now we're going way beyond our own strength. We preach Christ crucified, the power and the wisdom of God. Not just power, but the wisdom of God to be able to do what is right with all the power backing behind you. The power of God himself is backing you, and it all comes through Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. So I just grab a hold of that. I hang on to that. He's my power. The power is coming by the Holy Spirit, and the wisdom is coming to me by the Holy Spirit through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We got to be tough in these days of battle, that we will battle and battle men and women of war, mighty men and women of war, men and women of valor, to keep the ranks in the face of the battle. We're not going to turn. We're not going to run away. We're not going to be overwhelmed. I don't want to ask how much you weigh, little sister. But you went the other week. You went to a psychic fair where all the demons and all the hordes of hell, and you mighty woman of valor, weighing all of 100 and a few pounds. I just say, what a mighty warrior you are. What a mighty warrior, not afraid, and being able to minister to people that are coming to you to be ministered to, and you were able to share with them Jesus Christ. I say, what a mighty woman. To me, I'm impressed. I see this little thing, Alicia, just a little tiny thing. What a powerhouse. What a powerhouse. Mighty woman of war, of valor, keeping rank in the face of the battle. Loyal, it says here, with a loyal heart. They had a loyal heart to David, that we would have a loyal heart to the Lord. In the King James, it says a perfect heart, complete, of covenant, keeping covenant relationship. So Jesus says, hey, I am your Savior and your Lord. And we grab a hold of it. I will surrender. I will submit to you. You are my Lord. I am loyal, of loyal heart to you. I am perfect of heart to you, of relationship. I will serve you, Lord God. I love you. They loved David. A loyal heart to David. They came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. Of one mind to make David king. Listen, we need to unite under the and be submitted to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And we need to allow not just this, the unity of brethren. No, it says the unity, keeping the unity of the Spirit. Boom, unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace is wrapped up with a bond. They're wrapped up in peace. You want peace in your life? You need not just Jesus Christ and the Father, his will done, but that the Spirit of God would be free to move in your life. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I've used this example way too many times in the last little week. Here's Dave, little guy. This is the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the oil here, just representative of the Holy Spirit. This is you when you give your life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes into you the moment you give your life to Jesus. But when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are in the Holy Spirit. And it's Jesus that baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. It's the promise of the Father for today. Don't ever anybody tell you that it's not for today. Oh man, did I seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I was only 9 years old when I started saying, God, fill me with your Spirit. I didn't even know everything. I just knew, hey, they were saying, hey, come and let's be baptized in the Holy Spirit. From the time I was 9 till the time I was 14, every time there was an opportunity, I would come and I would seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit, not knowing everything. But man, when the Holy Spirit fell, 14 years of age, August, most likely August of 1977, and the Holy Spirit fell on us all, teenagers, 13 to 18 years of age, all at once. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and man, things began immediately in my life. You say, Pastor, are you perfect? No, I wasn't perfect. I wasn't perfect. Was the Holy Spirit in you? Yep, the Holy Spirit was in me from the time that I was 7, when I gave my life to Jesus. But now I was in the Holy Spirit, moving with the Holy Spirit. And here I am, 61 years of age, going to be 62 in October. And I just say, thank you for the Holy Spirit in my life. Thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in my life. This Jesus has raised up, of which we are all witnesses, Acts 2:32. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on the 120 that were waiting for it, and waiting for him, and waiting and waiting and waiting. 10 days they waited. They're praising the Lord. Now it says here, the reason I want to read this passage, because it talks about David, King David, who lived like 1,000 years before. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, The Lord said to my Lord, so it's the Father saying to the Son, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Come, my son, sit at my right hand. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, the anointed one. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, or the fact that even as you are baptized, you are declaring your sins have been taken care of, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. There were 3,000 added to the church in one day. Listen. I shared with this brother when he said, there's been 2 million people saved in the last few years of the war. And I was like, oh my goodness. We are praying for a quarter of this region. We've already started last year praying for a quarter to get saved, 125,000 people. And when I heard what he was saying, I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I was encouraged. See, because we're not just praying for those that live here. We're praying also for those that visit here. And they only come for a day or two, and then they're gone. And we have to catch them all in one day, every day. If we're going to see a quarter of the 12 to 14 million that come every year, it'll only be by the Holy Spirit. Can I just say this? We have the beginning. Even as we come together as one on July 13th, you come, you make it determined to be here that Sunday night. And because we want to prepare what's come up beyond us, somebody has already rented the Oaks Hall Theater at the bottom of Clifton Hill that can seat somewhere between 2,500 to 3,000. Just on the grass. I'm believing that it's going to be a starting of something, a beginning. Lord, please don't come back yet. Don't come back yet. Give us a chance to be mighty men and women of battle, of war, of overcoming. Let us be those men and women in these last days that we need to see 10,000 people saved every day for 300 days to see 3 million people get saved. The only way that is possible, it is not possible by man. It is not possible by man. It's not possible by our own ideas and our own wisdom and our own power. It is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, do we need to have a powerful work done? And they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren prepared for them. Moreover, those who were near to them from as far away as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali were bringing food on donkeys and camels, on mules and oxen, provisions of flour and cakes of figs and cakes of raisins. Oh, man. Wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. For there was joy in Israel. I want you to start getting excited about what God is doing. God is moving powerfully. Can somebody say amen? Yes, He is moving powerfully. And there's a work that needs to be done. I'm going to stop right there. I'm halfway through. So I'm going to stop right there. I might tie this in with the next time I preach. Can we stand together? You know what? Can I ask the worship team to come? And Donna, I want you to just pick what song you want to do as we close. Oh, man, let's worship Him. Let's worship Him tonight.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.